You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
NordVPN welcoming you to the SmackDown post show with me. Briefly, a double Alex situation here because we're going to talk about some stuff that we've got going on Sunday, which calling it wrestling adjacent would be generous, but we have a lot to talk about. We got a women's world title match to close out the show. We have JC Mateo to talk about here. Money in the Bank qualifiers, plenty to dig into on tonight's SmackDown. So get in your super chats, get in your humper chats at humperchats.com. I got my access back to all the humpies chats, so we're back in business there. And we're also going to remind you to subscribe to this YouTube channel if you would. We're at 171,000 followers. You guys are so awesome. We kind of blew through 169,000, which broke my heart a little bit because I couldn't make that many nice jokes. But when you guys show out with support for us, we appreciate it. But we were nice there for a second, so very much appreciated. Also, of course, to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5.99 in the biz. More contract dues going up over there. More creative plans about Cody Rhodes not turning heel. So there is that, despite what The Rock was maybe pitching there for a moment, but plenty going on there at FightfulSelect.com, including a specialty show that me and Alex Pulowski have where we review movies that have a wrestling connection. But in this case, this is just like Sean kind of bullied Alex into watching it. And so now we're going to review it.
Yeah,
that's basically what it is. I'm more excited about it because I can forgive stupid sense of humor stuff. Alex, not so much. No. But Sean pays the bills and he said he'd pay us to do it. So there you go.
Sean has bullied me into watching and reviewing Hot Rod from 2007.
That's
starring
right.
Andy Samberg, Bill Hader, and Danny McBride. I watched it. Kate, you still have not watched it?
I haven't. Okay. I will watch it tomorrow.
All right. Well, our entire friendship depends on you not liking this movie. That's how much I hate it. So on Sunday night, we will review it on Fightful Select. So everybody can yell at me about how I was supposed to like that movie. It's awful. But yeah, so there you go, Sean. You got what you wanted.
You happy about it, Sap?
Also, we figured this out. There is actually some kind of tenuous wrestling connection.
I saw this on the Dynamite poster you mentioned.
Bill Hader is wearing a Stone Cold Steve Austin t-shirt. And in a separate scene, Andy Samberg is wearing a Hulkamania t-shirt. And that's it. Those are the wrestling connections, so apparently it works.
Normally it's like The Rock was in it, or John Cena was in it, but this stretched to the definition of what featuring wrestler or wrestling meant. So we're going to have fun reviewing Hot Rod, because even when Alex doesn't like stuff, especially when Alex doesn't like stuff, we have the most fun in the world back there on FightfulSelect.com. So join us there on Sunday nights. Looking forward to talk about that. I do fear like, you give me like a good, and by good I mean like dumb, like Will Ferrell movie from around that time, like I'm probably gonna like it. And I feel like this has some elements that I'm gonna like. So
I cannot be more serious about this. You need to hate this movie, Kate.
There's so much
pressure. The future of Sour Grapes depends on it.
Oh no. Alex has consistently broken up with me and our show about things like this. So join us. It'll be fun no matter what I think. But now there is a tremendous amount of pressure, I must say. But
oh, for sure.
But yeah, that's what we'll be doing Sunday night. I'm sure there will be an SRS run-in if he's available.
Oh, he's definitely going to be planning on it. He ran in on my show. He ran on my solo stream for Sour Grapes. And like we talked about how JC Mateo used to be a utility infielder for the Cleveland Indians.
That's what it sounds like. He does sound... That did kick us off on a lot of mid-90s baseball talk, which infiltrated our SmackDown show. I don't know why, but on Fightful Select last week, so I was late because I was dealing with some stuff, and Sean jumped on there after his regular Raw show, and somehow we started talking about Graham Lloyd, who was like a very specific lefty specialist from the 96 to 98 Yankees. So let us know what you think JC Mateo actually does for a day job, though. That'll be a fun thing to talk about in the chat. We've got the sixth member of NSYNC. I said JC Mateo was giving me like AC Slater vibes, like the JC AC connection. So let us know what you think. Alex is challenging the five-tool player Anthony Bowens over there by saying that JC Mateo could just come in off the bench.
Yeah, no, he was a utility infielder. He got a single, actually, in the pinch hit single in the 95 World Series.
Up the middle. Run.
Little dribbler up the middle. That's he didn't hit for power, but he was a solid middle infielder. You could use him in a
pinch. JC Mateo? See a nice single, JC Mateo. We used to make jokes about it all the time, yeah. Well, we're going to dig into this episode of SmackDown. So keep those super chats and humper chats coming. We got me Norma saying, YouTube won't let me super chat from the meat castle, so I norted my meaty ass to Canada. Let's crank, eh? Only Kate got the Clavs memo. Do better, Alex. It's true. My Clavs are on display today.
Sometimes, you got to put them behind a paywall. No, I'm just kidding. I would never do such a thing.
Paywalling it. Alex said I'm making money off of this now. Okay. Making money off of this stuff now. But let us know what you think about tonight's SmackDown. We've got this R-Truth John Cena program to talk about as well. We are going to dig into it.
All right. Well, I'll leave you guys to it.
All right. Join us on Sunday.
Everybody Sunday for the
Hot Rod. Night.
Bye.
Well, me and... Wow, he can't. Oh, I thought he was just faking us out and going to stay there for a second. But Alex, we've got some SmackDown to talk about. I would say this episode was better and more substantive than the past couple weeks that we've gotten. Still some funky stuff to work through, but I would say certainly having those Money in the Bank qualifiers was good for talent rotation, good for having stakes on some of your matches in there. Just felt a little bit fresher tonight, though. Some stuff that was still very predictable. It wasn't like, there's the DQ match, there's the distraction finish. We got a little more beat on the bone tonight.
Yeah, I agree. There was there was a moment there where I was just like, there was matches that were going on. I'm like, are they gonna sheer away from their and they did, except for the last, you know, we'll get to it, the main event. You know, there's always.
Sure.
If I just feel like there's always a need for someone to run in. Someone's pissed off at somebody in WWE. These wrestlers are not happy with each other. And anytime they can get a chance to run down the aisle and try to cost you a match or beat the living life out of you, they're going to do it.
It does seem like sometimes there are natural times for people to interfere. And then there are times where it feels very shoehorned in. And I would say tonight's main event felt a little shoehorned in. But I would say that the in-ring kind of exceeded my expectations. There were some parts of this that certainly outweighed what I was expecting. There is a pacing issue with the show being 3 hours overall. One, 3 hour wrestling shows are too long. They just are. When your PLEs are basically 3 hours long, not great. The other aspect is at one point there was a half hour between matches in the show, and that's just too damn long.
Yeah.
Like by the time we got to Solo and Phoenix and Jimmy Uso, there was the last match was a half hour earlier than that. Yeah. That's just not a well-structured show, which is a continual issue.
Well, luckily for us, they do say that in the next couple of weeks, we'll be going back to a two-hour format, which I'll be very happy about. Just because the show will feel more concise, things won't feel like they're going slower, and just room for things to just like happen, like run-ins, because there's just no other way to like kind of fill the time except to have people run in.
I think that's part of what I liked was tonight had a 6-match card, I think, by the end of it. So it just felt like we got some more substance there. Like I was thinking about that because I feel like AEW's been in a groove of late with their show pacing, and they are usually a 4-match card now. And it feels well balanced over there. You had an extra hour, you had an extra 2 matches. That seems like it plays out well. But we got some more love coming in from you guys. Chris Pereira said that JC Mateo is a 90s backup catcher that only caught the knuckleballer. He had a 195 batting average, and now he coaches in the farm system. He's definitely a single A coach out there. I love it. Rafael Garcia saying, while I don't like it, Jeff Cobb Mateo does beat the piss out of Jordan Devlin McDonough by a country mile. Yeah, that's kind of one of those say it 10 times fast things. Yeah. It's weird to me because I'm now starting to see like I feel like when people go from somewhere else to AEW, I've known them by the name that they're there for. So like when Daniel Bryan was Bryan Danielson, it was a little clumsy in the beginning, but I knew of him as Bryan Danielson previously. Sure. Seeing Ricky Starks go to Ricky Saints is tricky. Hearing Jeff Cobb be anything other than Jeff Cobb, never mind JC Mateo, is going to take a minute for me to get to. I've been a big fan of this guy's work for a long time, and it's a little bit tricky in that regard. So it's never meant to be disrespectful if I screw it up. I've just known Jeff Cobb as Jeff Cobb for like well over a decade at this point. If you aren't familiar with him, you got a good taste of what he can do tonight. You saw his awesome finisher. Love the tour of the islands. I've been following him in New Japan and the independents and stuff. He's fantastic. He's fantastic. He is a little bit, I mean, he's older than Dakota Kai. I'll put it that way. But like it didn't feel like in New Japan, he was slowing down very much. So I think him coming in this role is going to be something that's really great for the product, because they're keeping this bloodline thing going. And if you're going to do it, I think Jeff Cobb is the right person to do it with. But Bad Robot saying, hello, favorite post show. Women main evented all week. That's fun. Yes, it is. Julia needs to win next week, please. JT Mateo is Graham Lloyd's personal chef. You guys are so funny. Thank you for that. Let's start at the end and let's talk some women's wrestling as well, because we did get this main event that was very, very good. Before we get here, though, I did want to note that Julia is joining the SmackDown roster, which I think is fantastic. She's not someone that needs to be in NXT a long time. She's not someone that needs developmental in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion. My concern with her going up from NXT is you're also pulling Roxanne up from NXT. Feels like Steph is probably pretty quick behind her. And you just cut some of the women's roster from NXT. So it feels like they're starting to do call-ups at the same time that they let some people go. And whenever that happens, it's just unfortunate for the NXT roster. It just sucks because there's less resources there and they do have a great women's roster. And I don't want to see it get completely depleted. The other thing is it felt like if anyone was coming up, it was Jordynne Grace. That's the last person that needs to be in developmental. And now it feels like, well, are they just going to keep her there for a short title run to beat Steph until SummerSlam or something? Because I thought she was going to come up and just wipe the floor clean with Zelina Vega, to be honest, for that title as like a badass introduction to the main roster. But now I don't know what to expect. If there's anything I'm horrible at, it's predicting when people are getting called up from NXT to the main roster. So That's my only thing about this that is kind of a negative is they're really starting to pick apart some of this NXT women's roster. But Julia, absolute force to be reckoned with. Huge shot in the arms to the main roster. Very excited to see her here. Before we get into the main event, what did you think of Julia being an addition here?
Rightfully so. I thought that this was the best place for her. I felt like the women's division up on Raw is just it's heavier, right? Sure. There's very little wiggle room there because they kind of got the people set that you know are going to be taking championships and going on these long runs and whatnot. But I'll tell you what, this has happened. This is normal. NXT, you know, they get people taken out of their farm system all the time, right? They know that they're going to come up. And the good thing is that, you know, they bounce back. They always do. They just have an incredible amount of young talent there that are just willing to learn and continue learning. And, you know, people are getting let go from other places and they're scooping them up rather quickly. You know, it does suck because at the same token, you see all these people getting let go and you're asking yourself, I just got let go and they're going after XYZ. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just blows. But that's the corporate system. Number one, that's just the way it works. And number two, I do want to end it with this. They also got the LFG thing.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's essential prenatal multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So they also have those guys under there, kind of like an Evolve. So, you know, I think they have a very big pool that they're able to grab from.
Yeah, when you consider the additions of, you know, this partnership with TNA, and you consider AAA now, yeah. there's a lot there. We got a lot of this. A lot of people saying, JC, what now?
Yeah.
Nice to see Miss Ellie. Ellie sees Ellie Albright in the chat. Two belts.
They got close to almost like 400 wrestlers now. Don't get it twisted. It's heavy. combined.
There's a couple of things that are still question marks. One, like this relationship with TNA. I don't know if I see Masha Slamovich in a WWE presentation clicking, right? So, like, what does that look like now? Number two is, if you get released and go to TNA, it doesn't feel like you're positioned to be doing crossover with NXT. And it feels like the most important programs in TNA right now are doing crossover work with NXT. So, at least not recently. We saw Fandango come over. We saw the Hardys there for a second. We saw the Rascals, things like that. But people that like a Gigi Dolin, it doesn't feel like it's going to go to TNA and then just immediately be crossing over with NXT. But
it's weird to have that someone leaving and like join TNA and then you know that they're working with NXT and WWE, and we don't know what dealings are happening backstage for a while. And we've known this, you know, Freddie has spoken about it. TNA has been wanting to get bought, you know. Yeah, they've been certainly vocal about it, right? So yeah, we don't know.
It hasn't been a secret in
the right wrestling. So we don't know what's happening. We don't know like where things will end up. So yeah, it's just weird. Like a lot of these guys who get let go, when they head over to TNA, I'm like, you're basically in the same company.
Yeah, it's a little bit odd in that way. It's a little bit odd in that way. Even with like the other thing that's kind of honestly funny is when they show up at NXT, it's like with which name, because the Elias thing was clunky as heck on Tuesday. When Elias showed up as Elijah, it was very, very confusing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
But let's dive in. Very happy for Julia being on the main roster. I think that will do wonders. And you're right. Like, I always feel like SmackDown's a little bit deeper, but you're right in the fact that like Rhea's over there. Bianca was doing work over there, even though she's technically on SmackDown. But Bayley's going to come back for Becky. Becky just returned. So like the top of that card is a little bit more focused. I think the depth is on SmackDown because they have that extra hour.
And SmackDown is wider. It casts a wider net. Like they're able to kinda move around and figure out the pieces. I just feel like everything's in lockstep over on Raw right now.
Yes, I agree with that. Let's dive into this main event, though, because we got a good one between Tiffany and Nia. We did have some... you're right. It felt forced on the interference with Jade and Naomi. Like, it feels like they're trying too hard to kind of inject that rivalry into the world title picture for some reason, where you could just leave well enough alone. Like, the feud is between those two gals. I think they're probably setting up the picture for Money in the Bank. I think you probably have Jade in there. You definitely have Naomi in there. I would put her as, if not a favorite to win it, certainly one of the names that should be getting tossed around as a favorite to win it. So I like that aspect of it, that they're kind of saying, like, these are the women that are at the top of the card who are going to be coming for that title. But it was just so unnecessary, and it just halted the momentum of what was a really, really solid match that we were getting from Tiffany and Nia. These two work really well together. You had Nia, like, ragdolling Tiffany quite a bit with some strikes and the way she was tossing her around a little bit. But you also had some good work from Tiffany finding her openings, slipping out of things, speed, a lot of misdirection, a lot of good stuff there. But there were some close calls in this with Nia with the Samoan drop and the setup for the leg drop, but Tiffany dodging it real quick. Like, Tiffany did such a good job with the pacing of this and creating avenues as a baby face, which I like to see. That handstand moonsault elbow in the corner was pretty cool, but the prettiest moonsault ever keeps her the champion. We did have that run in from Naomi, who was quickly thwarted by Jade. Just felt kind of unnecessary to do that, but really, really, really solid defense for Tiffany, and really, really great in ring to close out the show on this. Big fan of this match. I thought this was one of the better produced matches that Tiffany's been in, because it let her wrestle like a proper babyface in a lot of ways. What did you think of what we got here?
It was good. And by the way, it looked like she blasted Nia Jax in the effing face with that chair. Like, legit.
Yeah. You can hear
it. Like, it sounded like Aaron Judge going up to bat today against the Mets and thing around. You know, like, you can tell too. Like, I looked at her and I'm like, is that her hand up by her face? Because she's wearing red, her wristbands and stuff like that. No, you can tell. Like, I think it was like she was completely busted open. And that's why the camera never went to her. Normally you would get the wide shot of the hero on top of the villain, you know, but this time we didn't get that. We just got mid shots and close-ups of Tiffany the entire time, or a crowd shot. So once they did that, I was like, oh yeah, yeah, she got busted, you know? Other than that, I thought the match was well. I didn't think that it needed the interruption. I didn't think it needed Jade to come down too. Like, it's just, we kind of, they're falling into this thing where they're always doing that with title matches. Someone's always showing up. This has been happening since the Bloodline days. We've been watching it for over 4 years with the Bloodline, and now we're watching it seep into other different types of matches. And
oh
other
my God, with Cena at the
PLE.
It was just like, I just rewatched their match at WrestleMania with R-Truth in place, like, of Travis Scott.
And I'm not
a great one on that post show. He said, like, you know what rapper we didn't consider was R-Truth. I thought that was a cute line from him.
I'm not a booker, friends, and I can't tell you, I or a writer, and it's, you know, in WWE or any pro wrestling federation. So I don't know how hard it is to kind of put something together like that. But I have heard from people that do write and people that have done it professionally, and they always say that four-letter word, lazy. Lazy, always, you know. So
someone had said, like, if you could describe WWE in one word right now for creative, what would it be? And I said formulaic, because I do think there's a lot of strengths from a character perspective. Like, people are still doing things that make sense, which makes it better than the Vince era. But every other trope has returned.
Rematch after rematch.
Like, it's, how long have Tiffany and Nia been, like, going at this, right? Things like that. So,
but that's going to happen when you have a deep, rich roster. Not a lot of movement between wrestlers, right? So you are seeing, unfortunately, because for whatever reason, they don't want to bring anyone else into the fold or whatnot. It's always, I'm telling you guys, you watch SmackDown with us every single day, every single Friday. It's been the same 10 people almost, you know, give or constantly. Take. Sometimes they bring outliers, but you haven't seen that change. So
even in the tag division, which we're going to talk about later. Yeah. So it is just a little,
it formulaic.
Formulaic for sure. But like today, it's not even like the formula made all that much sense. Cause like what is Naomi doing coming into this match? Like it just wasn't called for. She doesn't really get anything out of causing a DQ in this. It was just so that Jade could come out and stop her. So we did have a segment before, though, where Jade and Tiffy crossed paths. Jade promised her that she would win the Money in the Bank qualifier to take the title off Tiffy. But Tiffy fired back just kind of like, cool and smug, and says she's not good enough to beat her. Like classic Tiffy attitude, which I liked. Some good stuff there. Like they've made her a baby face, but let her, I think the thing they learned from the Charlotte feud was like, you have to let her keep her arrogance a little bit. Like you have to let her still be Tiffy and Tiffy time, even though she is a face. Like people still want to root for someone that's confident. That's fine. But Ryan Tacchini saying Tiffy learned that dropkick from Saray and busted Nia. Tiffy can elevate for those big matches. She really can. She really can. I was so impressed too by her match with Jade. I thought was the best match Jade maybe I've ever seen, certainly in WWE. She seems to understand the assignment when you are the smaller acrobatic wrestler against the big strong gal. Like she understands the David and Goliath match very, very well, and she executes it extremely well. That being said, give us other stuff. We don't need to see the same match over and over again. But Chris said, who is this John Cena and R-Truth match for? This is the best match we could come up with for John Cena. Let's talk about this R-Truth sit down with Wade Barrett. Part of why things have felt so light of recent was like, you don't have John Cena here tonight. Cody Rhodes hasn't been around, right? Like a lot of your main, Bianca's injured. A lot of your main talent is MIA from screen right now. And that makes a pretty boring product. And when you put so much emphasis on those people and you aren't making new stars, Carmelo Hayes, like it makes things pretty stale. And then when you go into a PLE where only one world title is defended, when neither tag title is defended, the world heavyweight champion's not defended, and neither women's world title are defended like you did. Was that just last week? Just last week? Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes for a really stale show. But I don't think this John Cena heel turn is going as well as it's I was not. Hoping.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to recap it and then we'll dig into it. But Wade Barrett sitting down with R-Truth, who addressed John Cena betraying him at Backlash. He put, if you didn't see it during the presser, he put R-Truth through the table. It was a weird environment to do it in and bad. But Truth said John Cena was a hero to him and that the man who attacked him wasn't the John Cena he knows. He'll face John Cena at Saturday night's main event to knock some sense back into him, saying that he still believes in hustle, loyalty, and respect. If you have a limited number of appearances and reps for John Cena, I don't want to say wasting them on R-Truth is a bad idea, because I think there's a lot of people that like that relationship and what's come of it. Him squashing R-Truth in 5 minutes on a SmackDown is a perfectly appropriate use of that to set up something else on the way to the next PLE. Like, this just feels like a waste of a full John Cena rep. Like, him squashing R-Truth would be better for the story, even, because the emotional investment is like, we all love crazy R-Truth and his loyalty that's misguided to John Cena, who he calls a childhood hero that he's older than, right? Like, if we're all in on the joke, the better call is to have John Cena squash him on a random episode of TV anyway, rather than giving him a full match at Saturday night's main event. I'm sure something will happen. Cody will return. Something will happen on Saturday night's main event to further the John Cena stuff. But I had such high hopes and high expectations for this heel turn. Maybe that's on me, but it's just not going how I thought it would. Like, even him and Randy Orton was like, okay, I can dig into this, because the entire time I was watching from 2009 on, you were a Randy Orton person or you were a John Cena person. So, all right, yeah. Like, let's dig back into that history. And then you have three ref bumps, one with a title shot, R-Truth joining in after these guys put on their working boots and actually had a pretty well-paced match at that PLE, far better than I thought they would. So I don't need to see the bloodline equation copy and pasted with John Cena in it. I think it's a dumb idea, and you should have just kept him face if this is what you were going to be doing with him. Because the booting the relationship with the Rock thing has put a damp paper towel over all of this. Not great. I don't care about this match. There's no way in hell R-Truth is beating him. We'll do some silly stuff. I don't care. But what did you think of the sit down? I thought it was executed well by the people in it. I'll say that. Like, I thought R-Truth did a good job with his part, and Wade Barrett did a great job with his part. But I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, to me, it was just that. It was just, you know, there was nothing storyline being driven there to me. You know, like, we know where this is going to end. Right. And like you said, like, it's just it makes really no sense for you to take a pay-per-view match and, you know, for something like this. Right. These should be special. These things are
it's not technically a pay-per-view.
Right. Like, right. Saturday, I mean, but it's a big yeah. So, yeah, it's an event. Like, it's an event. Sorry.
John Cena is counting down how many reps he has. You know what I mean? Like, he's counting down how many appearances he has, and burning one on this is beyond.
So it's right. So, like, when you go ahead and you put him on a, sorry for calling a pay-per-view, a Saturday night's main event, which is, it's a big deal, right? This is a big deal, guys. On the back end stuff, and I'll talk about it one day online, but like, having these shows, these, you know, are huge, and then you're putting someone like a John Cena on there, that makes it even bigger. John Cena's counting down, and then you're gonna kind of just like, unfortunately, put R-Truth in there. That's something that you do like at a 9 o'clock hour to break the show SmackDown in half, you know, to kind of bring in the ratings up at that mid hour show. You know, like, okay, cool, let's have John Cena come in and kill. Ooh, sorry, not kill, but, you know, destroy poor R-Truth. You know, but
smoosh
him. I don't know, man. I just, you said it before. Everything's like on a formula, right? And just like, they're coasting. So it doesn't matter what they do. People are still going to fill in the seats.
I mean, I would have laid money on the idea of a John Cena heel turn being the most interesting thing in professional wrestling. And I would have been online to do such a thing.
Oh.
I would have bet online to place that bet at BetOnline.ag.
I want to talk to you guys about our great partner at BetOnline.ag. Yes, the place that lets you bet on pro wrestling. We've gotten our pro wrestling betting odds from them for years, well before we even worked with them. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about them. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payout, the industry best bonuses. They've been trusted for 25 plus years because of their safe and secure environment and their quick payouts. But you can bet on pro wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know more than anybody, go ahead and look at those odds. The same ones you've seen on Fightful for years. You might see one that sticks out to you and you go, wait a second. There's no way that person's going to win. Why are they an underdog? Make yourself some money. BetOnline.ag. And hey, it doesn't stop there. Whatever sports you want, they got you covered. Popular games like blackjack and roulette, Supernova, Skyward, all that stuff. BetOnline.ag. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can at BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline.ag. Yes, you can bet on wrestling. And yes, that's where you can do so. BetOnline.ag. Well, let's take it back to the beginning. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats at humperchats.com. We got a lot more to talk about. We got these Money in the Bank qualifiers. Alexa Bliss is finally doing something on television. More bloodline drama. JC Mateo being involved now. It's so weird. It's so weird to call Jeff Cobb anything other than Jeff Cobb. And JC Mateo just... Yeah. JC giving me AC Slater vibes. He's going to come out and do a dance and
stop.
Unitard for Jesse Spano.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. So excited. So scared. So scared. Let's keep rolling along though. Let's talk about what opened the show with Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, and JC. The crowd is also not buying the name. No. So I don't know. But Solo opens it with Jacob Fatu and Jeff Cobb and announces that he's going to be entering into the Money in the Bank ladder match and tries to force Jacob Fatu to say he loves him in front of the crowd. But Fatu hesitated. Things got really intense, but LA Knight bursts onto the scene, yanks Jeff Cobb out of the ring, lays him out before escaping through the fans, which got a huge pop. I love that LA Knight is just this perpetually over. Like, it's incredible how long it sustained itself, but the cracks in this faction are showing, all right? The new bloodline is withering away at the foundation as it has been for a while, but now it finally feels like it's coming to a head. And then later in our match, we get Solo beating Rey Fénix and Jimmy Uso with a lot of help from his family here with Jacob Fatu and JC. So the match was awesome. I had a lot of fun watching this. There was a rare miscue on the refereeing front, but that's okay. We love, what did they call him? Lil Nate with his hair like that, but interference from Fatu and JC Mateo in this. Jimmy nearly won with the spear and some of that top rope offense that Uso splashed there, but Fatu distracting the referee in this. Solo taking advantage with the Samoan spike and Fénix Fénix also taking one after JC gets involved to seal the win there. So Solo does advance. This was kind of a Rey Fénix showcase a little bit. The rolling Hurricane Rana, the double springboard drop kicks, the double springboard crossbodies in these. Like, this was a lot of fun to watch him in there with this particular group of guys, because he got to showcase what he could do a lot. So a fun match. Not totally surprising that Solo Sikoa is the one advancing. I think they need that to make sure that he feels important. And I think the Money in the Bank match will probably escalate things as this faction continues to head toward breaking up a little bit. And Fatu runs away with just being the breakout star that he is. What did you think of how we opened the show? And would you say that you loved Solo Sikoa in the middle of the ring in front of everybody?
I would say it if I meant it, but obviously I don't. I don't.
Wow.
I feel like this, it's been a mess ever since they kind of separated the team. I told you this when they first started like separating them. I was like, man, this isn't going to last very long. You know, this B version of the team. They're already on their fifth version of it. You know, and it kind of like, it's actually worse than poor NWO 2000 or whatever that was when they were freaking just putting weird random people together in the silver and black NWO. Like, this is the bloodline now version, the silver and black version of the bloodline. And Solo just unfortunately right now is in a little bit of a conundrum. Because you have surrounded him with players that are not only incredible in the ring, but are insane on the mic. Okay. You know, with Jacob Fatu, you know? So Solo's kind of just like what he was supposed to be, this big type enforcer. You kind of like hand the reins over to him, and he's supposed to be this big, you know, whatever. next leader, and it just hasn't panned out. It just really it has not taken off, unfortunately, for him. But the match was fine. I thought it was good that they're going to let him get in and do his thing. But again, he's there as a distraction mostly for me.
I feel like it was a positive advancement to start to separate him and Fatu, but the problem is now he's on the other side of Jacob Fatu. So it's a little tricky in that regard. I think he's better than people give him credit for. I think when they let him have a personality, it was really shining, but now we're kind of back to where he was. Also, the wardrobe's just not working.
We're back to that. Remember that?
Remember yeah, when the first,
like, we were
just
like, why
working.
Is this Stu 10 times bigger than he is? He wasn't wearing the thing. It's just, yeah. They messed up. And I'll tell you again, they just messed up because they put people around them that are power players. All right. Jeff Cobb's a power player. All right. Like he might break out on his own a little bit in the near future.
I wouldn't blame someone for thinking Jeff Cobb is more impressive in the ring and Jacob Fatu is more impressive overall than Solo Sikoa. I don't think that makes Solo Sikoa bad at his job. Well, I don't think it means right. The story isn't an impossibility.
Yep.
But it doesn't feel like it's clicking right now.
He doesn't feel important.
He doesn't. It doesn't feel like he commands.
Why would I fear Solo? What is there to fear? His own brothers are punking him, you know, and Jacob Fatu is punking him, you know. So
he doesn't even love him anymore.
No, he doesn't love him.
I love you, Solo.
I mean, how many times we love you, chat? Now there's nothing. There's no love anymore. Like,
Alex, will you say that you love me in front of all these people in the chat?
I love Kate so damn much in front of the world. In front of the universe. Hell, I'll even say it in front of the WWE universe.
Look at that. This is what happens. If you just say that, then LA Knight doesn't come in here and beat us all up. So it's good. Guys, keep your chats coming. Do leave a thumbs up on this video as we continue to roll through SmackDown. Well, with everything that happened in that previous match, we do kind of right on the heels of it get this LA Knight JC Mateo match with Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu out there, of course, and playing their role in things. But because LA Knight came in hot after that Money in the Bank qualifier, we moved right into this. Nick Aldis makes the match immediately. Thankfully, everybody is conveniently ready in ring gear, but we get JC with the win. And I thought they did a good job of making him look really impressive. I don't think this needed to be as long as it was because LA Knight is so over that he can take a little bit of a quicker loss and you can get a taste for what Jeff Cobb does in a shorter amount of time. I do enjoy I enjoy Jeff Cobb's in-ring work so much, but I some of my favorite work of his in New Japan was with the TV title, which was a timed title because you don't need a lot of to look impressive when you're Jeff Cobb, but you did get to see what he's capable of in kind of the whole 360 from him in this. So some really good stuff. That Tour of the Islands finisher is unreal. He was doing that standing moonsault, which nobody should be able to do. And at his size, that swinging back suplex is always so, so impressive. The overhead belly to belly, the one-armed spine buster. Like, he is just a strong, strong dude. But we did have some ringside distractions, of course, because God forbid we go a little bit without that. But JC getting to show off what he does well here. This is one thing that I have liked overall is that as WWE is introducing or reintroducing people to the roster, they do get a win. Oftentimes it's been like a one-off win, like Rusev was a one-off win. I like that this has a little bit more story behind it and has a little bit more consequence with this win. I wish AEW would take notes on that because a lot of times they'll have people debut in a very impressive loss. And it's usually against someone where you're like, well, you're not really losing anything by losing to that person, but it's like, yeah, but they just got here. I would like to see them win first. some really, really good stuff in this. And I'm excited to see what JC Mateo thinks of what he has to do with all of this. What did you think of the follow-up match to the match we'd previously got?
Not bad. Again, he's so... You just mentioned his moveset, and I wasn't thinking like that at all. I was just kind of just like seeing him in the ring, kind of like the art, you know, like him conducting yes. the art of wrestling in the ring. And that's something that's been missing in WWE for a while. And don't like shoot the messenger here, friends, but they're all PC'd out. And by PC, I mean, you know, the performance center where they bring in people and they teach them their way and that's it. Okay. So when you have someone like a Jeff Cobb just kind of show up, right?
Yeah.
JC Mateo, you know, and bring his style of professional wrestling into the ring. Okay. The same thing goes with the Lucha Bros. Okay, like you see their style of wrestling in the ring, it is totally sure. different from what you're seeing everyone else do in that squared circle. So it's very cool, man. Like, I can't wait to see what else he's going to bring out because, I mean, look at another one is Jacob Fatu. Jacob yeah. Fatu is showing you what he did in MLW, and people are in love with it. They're embracing it.
I think I said this on the Tuesday show a couple weeks ago because Julia, Roxanne Perez, Steph, like, are all super over. And it's not because of any of the gimmicky BS that they were doing in NXT for a long time. It's because right. they're really good at the ring. Same with Jordynne Grace. Like, Jordynne Grace just shows up and she chucks yep. people around.
That's it.
She like, and hits people really hard. Yeah, she does. And she has, like, I've said at length, like she uses her strength in ways that I've never seen people use their strength before, but it's not because of any of the dorky crap that they were giving people in NXT that these women got over. They connected with the crowd because they're really good at wrestling and all of their in-ring is completely different from each other, which makes for really exciting matches. So I hope somebody back there is paying attention to that because you're right. Cause even the standouts in NXT that are like PC creations, there's a lack of a certain grit. And some of them find it and some of them don't. But like Sol Ruka is incredible. Incredible. Everything that you would want in a pro wrestler, except I don't feel like always that she's looking to fight someone. I think pairing her with Zarya was a good idea. But Zarya is not a PC center creation. Like sometimes there's just this lack of, I actually want to beat the crap out of someone with a lot of the PC center trainees. And I like that in my pro wrestling because otherwise I'm just seeing people agree to matches. Like that's not fun. I want to see people get beat right. up sometimes. But let's keep the train moving here. A lot of women's wrestling to talk about on the show, which was nice. And a lot of developments inside that. We mentioned that Julia is on the SmackDown roster officially, and that came about in a segment with Charlotte and Alexa Bliss. So she's getting mixed up with some very important members of the roster right away. But we did have Alexa Bliss defeating Mi Chin and Chelsea Green, who is still over like Rover, in this qualifier. Started out really hot. Mi Chin knocked Chelsea out of the green. Chelsea Green out of the ring pretty early with that spin kick, which looked awesome. There was some nice chain wrestling between her and Alexa, which we don't always get to see Alexa do. But Mi Chin with that double cannonball senton looked really, really good. You had Alexa with that signature satellite DDT, which looked great in this. But we have the Sister Abigail on Chelsea Green with for the win there. I'm reading my notes and getting ahead of myself. So we have Alexa Bliss becoming the first ever two-time possibly the first ever two-time winner because we haven't had that before. So qualifying twice, which is an exciting thing for her, which is good. And you have Chelsea Green absolutely going ballistic that she lost that match and claiming that she got robbed. Here's part of the issue with Chelsea losing her U.S. title is the what's next for her because the crowd is still in love with her. So they got to figure out what that looks like, whether that's breaking up the Hervis, whether that's her getting in line for a title shot to get her title back or the world title or whatever. They need to book her with intentionality because they didn't throughout her entire reign. I can tell you that much. She was losing all the time with that title, which is stupid. So really fun match. Happy for Alexa Bliss. Happy Alexa Bliss is on my freaking TV again because that was ridiculous. What did you think of this women's triple threat qualifier?
I thought it was good. You know, it's funny because Alexa Bliss is like you're thinking in my head. I'm thinking that she's still like, you know, Sister Abigail, right? So she's supposed to have this like dark undertone to her. And even like afterwards when she was talking to Charlotte, you know, like it kind of like she lost that. She's just being her again. She's being Alexa Bliss, you know, even in the ring.
They sure did tease those Wyatt six vignettes, and then they just completely dropped them after WrestleMania with no explanation.
No, yeah, the moves, like everything that she's doing in the ring, is like her original self, you know, who she was when she used to not dress in dark gear. but I thought the match was well. I'll tell you what, Michin is getting so much TV time. It's such a wonderful thing. Having Chelsea lose the title, like you mentioned, it's hard because where does she go from here, right? Is she still in that title picture? Like, outside of her wanting to go towards this title, there's no movement, right? Unless they maybe say, hey, maybe your next challenge is to go, we move over to Raw, right? Or you go for the world title. Like, you kind of get into that picture, right? But there's no movement and there's no like storyline taking her that way. She's still stuck in the same circle with the same people. So I'm
going to keep... God forbid they care about the tag division.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Know. Like... That's another thing. Yeah. So, I'll keep my eye and my ears open. Like, the women there are very well deserving, and there's only so many titles I could only go around, you know. And I honestly thought tonight Michin was going to be the one to win. I said to myself, well, if Alexa Bliss is going to go off with the Wyatt Six, why would she need to win this match, right? If she has an involvement with them and they might like suck her back in, and she's about to transform and she's going to raise hell with everyone, right? That's what I was thinking in my head while watching, and well, I was wrong. I'm wrong a lot, friends.
Everybody is, because sometimes they do a lot of stuff that makes no sense. But I think Alexa winning is the right call because there is the possible two-timer story in there. And I'm wondering what's going on with Charlotte, because someone, I think, at this chat pointed out last week, and it's a great call, Charlotte's like the perfect target for the Wyatt Six to go after if this ends up being an angle where Alexa turns dark and spooky again. Like, if Nikki Cross comes back and is in her ear or something, there's some really, really good things to be done there, because Charlotte fit the mold of the type of people that they were going after. But Jules chiming in with the chat saying, hi, I just wanted to throw some shekels your way for being awesome. Love you both. Thank you
so much for that. Yeah. Yeah. She sent that to me, by the way. She said,
hey, what the heck, man?
We got a pizza and a soda.
What?
Like $32 now.
I mean, you already told everybody that you declared your love in front of everybody here.
So. I did, guys. If you didn't know, and you know, I will be up in Nueva Jersey in 3 weeks, and I will confess my love in front of the world.
You got to do it with the hands.
I will do it. First of all, I will do it with the hands.
Thank you.
And I hope there's a crowd around me because I will be yelling it.
And just keep LA Knight from beating our ass. That's all.
You
I
will ask. Get it on camera. I'll make sure no coffee gets spilled in the making of this video.
Well done. Well done. Let's keep rocking and rolling. I would, by the way, love to see Michin get A, more of a push, and B, be in a ladder match, because she's, I think, my top three counter wrestlers. This is a lot for me to narrow down, but I think it's like Io Sky, huge gap, Zack Sabre Jr., Michin. I think that's how it goes. Io Sky, the work she's been doing recently, I'm like, she's just head and shoulders above everybody else. So I would love to see what Michin can do in a ladder match, because I think it's so underrated how creative she can be encountering stuff. And I think that would be a good thing to have in there, but I'm not mad about Alexa being in it. That's a solid development. So we will keep moving. We get a tag division recap from last week with Fraxium beating the tag team champions for no reason, which was stupid, and DIY jumping them backstage. But we have Fraxium defeating DIY here. This was fun. This was higher energy than some of the DIY matches that we see. High energy, a fantastic tag team. Okay, like the best. Jeez. But there was some good stuff in here. I liked how hot it started, and then it kind of slowed down in the middle with the heels taking over, right? You got some of the stiffer shots and a lot of heel work there, but loved the scoop slam that we got with Gargano and Axiom. But Nathan Frazier running wild, shooting star press, mixing the Phoenix Splash. The super kick assisted fairy tale ending was ridiculous. I loved a lot of this. The Rana roll up for the three, though. And then post-match, DIY attacked again until the Motor City Machine Guns show up. Of course. They're just obsessed with each other. I don't know what to say. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. Move on. You had a 2 out of 3 falls match. That's the blow-off. Can anybody move on in this company? They all need therapy. They all need to just emotionally get their closure through a match and move on. Come on, man.
Here's the problem. Like, I feel like the team DIY has done everything in WWE. They really have.
It would make sense that they're pairing them up with someone so green and new as right. Motor City Machine Guns.
Well, I was going to get there. Kind of upset that you have a rookie team like running into the ring and creating havoc when you have this amazing match going on in, you know, in there. But, you know, I feel like DIY for some reason they just don't fit in as the tag team that they are in WWE because they're not being fed and the tag team division is not being elevated to the level in which that they are in, right? That they are in.
Do you think it's because they faced Motor City Machine Guns 87 different times and they can't work with anybody else? Because yeah. That's how it feels.
Yeah. So but unfortunately, that's the end of all that is the fact that the entire division feels like this.
Sure.
Right. So you have the same four teams facing each other every single time. So, you know, you had to bring a green team like Motor City Machine Guns into the mix because there was nobody else. Bring them in. They do their thing. They're interrupting veterans in the ring. You know, like I'm going to write a strongly worded email tomorrow to creative at WWE about this. Not very happy.
I always like to say, if this keeps up, I'm going to complain on the internet.
I always complain on the internet. It's the right thing to do. And sometimes I use all caps and I put a punctuation or two in there that make it seem like I am serious. But
extremely
yeah.
serious.
Yeah. I feel like outside, like this just the tag team division's in trouble. Unless they're gonna do something. And you can't just say, oh, wait, you know, we got the Lucha Brothers, we could put them together and then like really start elevating the tag team division. No, because now you gotta worry about Triple A and what you're gonna be doing there. So if you're gonna put them together, you're not putting them together to fight on SmackDown or Raw, you're gonna put them together so they can go over there and promote this new venture that they just got into. You know, so there's like there's a lot of gaps, man. I wish that the tag team division was stronger because you have these really good, fun teams, man.
It's true.
I went on a long rant. I'm sorry, but
no, it's okay. It's
Motor City made this happen and I am upset.
It's there's some really great teams, but they only seem to tangle with each other. And then you have like Pretty Deadly not doing anything right now, right? Like those kinds of things fall through the cracks, which is frustrating. We did have that backstage where Julia got introduced. It had Alexa Bliss and Charlotte kind of having some words here. Alexa Bliss reminded her that Charlotte was kind to her once in NXT and Charlotte just can't remember, which was pretty cute. Julia was walking out of Nick Aldis's office and it was announced that she was officially part of the SmackDown roster. And Charlotte stormed into Nick Aldis's office about Money in the Bank And Alexa Bliss just kind of smirked and said, we'll see. And we do have a qualifier for next week involving Julia and Charlotte. And did I write down the third? Yes, Zelina Vega. Because why wouldn't your U.S. champion want to be going after the world title? Why would they be interested in defending their own title? Why would they be interested in not going after some different title or having tag matches? Why did you create a mid-card title to not care about it?
Kate.
Exhausting.
You're trying to make sense. Calm down a little bit, please. Please. You almost dropped. You almost, I don't need you to be dropping the S word in here.
I'll say it.
Don't do it.
It's silly. Oh, I said it.
Well, we're demonetized and we're probably getting blocked.
We have Aleister Black and Carmelo Hayes.
Again.
Guess what? A DQ happened. I know that's shocking.
Stop. That
but
did
we
not
get
happen.
A DQ. These two have good chemistry. Carmelo Hayes is great. Not sure how many times I can say that. Like, the Miz keeps interfering at ringside. It's stupid. Carmelo Hayes doesn't need help. Like, all of this is just so clouded by the fact that why is Carmelo Hayes with the Miz? If this was just an Aleister Black Carmelo Hayes feud, I'd be like, give this a best out of seven. I'm here for it. Hayes hitting that La Mystica was awesome. Aleister Black with the German suplex, spinning elbow, black mask thing was great. And then the Miz jumps in for a DQ. It sucks. It sucks that you're ruining great matches with dumb endings. Stop. It's silly. That was my hot part.
That's twice, friends.
Yeah. Back
you
to
got
back.
Two of them tonight. Can someone please silly. Send in a super chat or three? We need to find a way to make money after this tonight, because I don't think we should be dropping words. I mean, I haven't even dropped any names. Nothing tonight. No letters.
I know you didn't even. When you called Triple H last week, I was in stitches.
You know how many people like hit me up on DMs that were like laughing their ass off? They're like, and then you called me out on social media, and I was just like, oh, I can't believe he really actually did it. That.
You're like, the thing is, when H, like, you were so fluid.
Friends, when you have the type of relationship that I do with, you know, really big companies, and here we go. Like WWE or like AEW.
Sure.
You have these, you know, friendships that just bloom. You know, I'm not going to say who or what. No letters or numbers today.
Not dropping any first letters on the
No, game. Not tonight. Not tonight. I want this to be an even-keeled type of night where we're just talking SmackDown and I don't get called out on the interwebs.
Well, certainly I'm the person to be hosting if you want something even-keeled. That's for sure.
Even keeled, friends.
We did have a segment between Andrade and Rey Fénix before the qualifier that happened later that we already discussed. He's just giving him a pep talk, and Solo confronted them about LA Knights. And there was this kind of tense Fatu Fénix moment, which was a nice little stare down. Forgot to mention that in the match, but just some good consistency, some good through lines. We get another match that got set up for Saturday night's main event between Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest. Drew came out limping, all still beat up from Backlash, and he cuts this kind of fiery promo challenging Damian Priest. Drew said Priest is only relevant because of him, and he accepted the steel cage match for Saturday night's main event. I'm sure it'll be great. They're two of the very best workers, and I like that they're picking on people their own size. Like, we don't always get a lot of that because Drew and Damian are both so big. People forget how big Damian is. But, like, this kind of WrestleMania had a street fight, and then they were both in a triple threat, and now we're back to a different stipulation. And I don't know if a steel cage is, like, more of a blow-off than where this started, which makes me feel like it's a Chris Jericho feud, because they book those in reverse all the time on AEW. They go backwards. It's so weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're having two stipulation matches to move this forward. I felt like it got thrown on the WrestleMania one to give some spice to the card because it was so weak. It's fine. It's Saturday night's main event. This is not a place of
it's a where, pay-per-view, where according to Alex.
Happens.
That's going to make it onto webs.
And I liked what Damian Priest had to say later. There was some good stuff there. But I just, this was just not a properly built feud, and it should be, because those two are great and they deserve it.
You know, I agree with
match is going to be great.
I agree with you. And the reason why I agree is because, you know, we've seen Drew McIntyre kind of have steady matches as of late. And these matches have been longstanding feuds, right? That kind of end up in bigger stipulations, right? So I'm happy to see him in the fold. I'm happy to see Damian Priest happy and doing his thing, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty much like having someone who is Boricua, Puerto Rican, representing the Puerto Rican side of him very well, by the way, in his songs, in his entrance music, on his gear, you know, everywhere he goes. I mean, he's getting I think he got a street named after him in the Bronx, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. So
people forget that he was on the other side of that Bad Bunny match and how well he sold for Bad Bunny and how much he guided him through it. Like, that guy is a class act worker.
Yeah. He's going to be, he's going to be one of those that I'll say it. He could be, he needs a couple bigger matches. And if he were to get them in his last little couple, you know, couple years that he has left in WWE, if he gets some, he's sure as hell could be someone that could be put into like the WWE Hall of Fame, because he represented very well, very good with PR, very good with kids, very good in the ring, very good at what he does, delivers promos, hard worker. There, he's hitting every box except for the fact that there's a couple big matches. But I mean, you have Earthquake and Typhoon in the Hall of Fame, so you know, like, if you have them, then you can put Damian Priest in, and sure, you know, so.
Shout out to Reggie Elliott, who said he was the 69th like on this video.
How nice. Is this video not at like 6,900 likes, guys? Come on.
That's where it needs to be. There are 7,500 people watching. So
I'm really upset
you.
Right now.
It's appreciated, but there should be at least 169 likes. You're right. So please do leave a thumbs up and get us there. But it has to end in 69 because we want to have a nice weekend. You know what I mean?
Very nice.
Me Normus saying, I'm enormous and I'm a sickoaholic. I'm 4 years sour. Acknowledge me, Cardoza. A+ t-shirt. D- for no v-neck. That's fair. The Clav Syndicate is a one-woman show. I do have my clavs out. Wild.
I could put mine a little bit. I just don't want to stretch the neck, but I mean, they're there. They're defined. Wild. They're looking good. It's in the 80s and 90s for the last like 2 months here, so I've been outside getting some vitamin D. Looking good, getting the clavs all right for Jersey, you know.
Yeah, vitamin D segue when I don't have a blue jean.
Laundry clavs. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing when I get to Jersey, baby.
Here for that. Well, we've got a couple more things to wrap up with here. We get a backstage, which is a follow-up from last week's tag match with Phoenix and Andrade beating Los Garza. And Berto turning his back on Santos Escobar. This week, Garza and Santos talk things out a little bit here. Santos hadn't been able to reach Berto, but says he's willing to forgive what happened because he sees a bright future for Legado. This is all like tough love. You know what I mean? I like that Santos is being hard on these guys, but it's because he sees a future in them. And he asked Angel to bring Berto home, and Angel kind of looks conflicted with this. And the family ties are pretty strained here, Alex. I don't know where this could be going, but I like that it's going somewhere. I'm glad Santos Escobar is back on my screen finally.
I don't drop names, but I do have a good relationship with a couple friends there at the WWE, and I gotta say, I'm very happy to see Santos Escobar on my television. I love seeing the representation. I love seeing him because he's a world talent.
Megastar.
I'm just letting you guys know how well of a freaking rounded professional luchador is Santos Escobar, okay? His lineage, his family, et cetera, et cetera. the people around him are also very, very good at what they do. Okay. I just want to say this. They need to continue push him in the right direction, because what happens with him, he kind of starts and stalls, and then disappears completely. And unfortunately, I'm going to sound a little bit negative here, but we saw this with Jinder Mahal when WWE announced a partnership with India, and that India was going to start getting WWE Network over there. We saw Jinder Mahal get put in as WWE champion, right? So right. So I don't want to see something like this. I'm not saying that he's going to become world champion, but you're kind of seeing the patterns. We're getting all the Latinos together. Okay. You're seeing it happen. So, because we know the AAA deals here, we know that there's going to be a lot of cross promotion. Doesn't necessarily have to be just NXT that's going to be getting their hands dirty with them, right? You have this roster that can go back and forth. So I just hope and pray that that's not where we're going, because I don't want to see that. I want to see these freaking talent and all of them around flourish and continue moving up. And we've been beating the drum on Santos for months, Kate, you and I here.
Maybe years at this
Maybe
point.
Maybe years, yeah. And we're starting to see really great moments with him on television, but I am afraid that it's coming with a receipt, you know, like something on the back end. So I hope that's not I hope I'm completely
like
wrong.
El Grande Americano just beating them for no reason or
that
whatever.
That is so ridiculous, unbecoming, disgusting, and so many other words that I will not say here on the live where we'll get it kicked off. But it's just it's not needed, right? Because you have the rich history there with these guys. So
I don't think you can straight-faced say we're going to buy a Controlli stake in AAA and keep in traditional lucha style and then also be running a program where you have El Grande Americano winning the speed title on Cinco de Mayo for the LOLs. Like, I think that's a pretty pathetic excuse for a program, to be perfectly honest. So yeah, that's all kind of lame. I would say the two biggest swings and misses on SmackDown on the men's side are Santos Escobar and Carmelo Hayes. Like, guys with just tremendously high ceilings that are being woefully underutilized. Those are kind of my two, like, what aren't we doing with these guys for the moment. And we'll wrap up our show with this Shinsuke Nakamura vignette, who addresses LA Knight and Aleister Black, previewing their triple threat next week. That will be a Money in the Bank qualifier for you guys. And Nakamura said that Aleister Black hides behind smoke and mirrors because he fears his own darkness. And I said, what are you doing hiding behind Cody Rhodes' old theme, smoke and mirrors? But a darkness Nakamura wants to awaken. He says he's going to beat both men to prove he's unstoppable. Glad Shinsuke is on his way back. He just was off TV for a while, and now he'll be back on TV. So that is good. Any thoughts on that? I'm looking forward to that triple threat because it's interesting from an in-ring perspective, stylistically, very much.
Yeah, I guess I'll be looking. Unfortunately, like, I don't see Shinsuke kind of maybe winning this, but I could be wrong.
No, I think that's probably Aleister Black's to win, would be my guess.
You know, somebody wrote, this wasn't me, I think I saw it on the chat, no pin Black or whatever it is. I don't know what, that made me crack up. I wasn't going to laugh, but it did. I don't know. I feel bad for Shinsuke. He's another one. He's another one that was on a super hot streak, the vignettes, the speaking, you know, the subtitles, everything he was doing was just dope as hell. And then
there was some parts of his reign that just weren't locked in. So right. I think they probably did the right thing to transition it to Jacob Fatu, but I'm glad he'll be back on our televisions, because I'm a big Shinsuke gal. So
yeah, hopefully. I love Shinsuke. I hope that, I'm not going to say much about poor Shinsuke. I'll leave it at that.
It's tough because, like, they never put in the work to make him the legend that he is.
Correct.
To the point where he should probably be at this stage of his career in part-time status.
Yes.
So it's like they didn't do enough to warrant that. Oh. But from an in-ring reps perspective, like that might be where his body has kind of pushed him into. But we'll see. We'll see how he comes back. Sometimes people need a little time off TV to rejuvenate. So we will see. But we will also see you next week for the SmackDown post show. So thanks for hanging out with us. I always hate jumping off when there's almost 7,900 of you watching right now. We appreciate the support.
Could
so
have been
much.
6,900.
I mean, we like more, but
oh, sorry. I didn't know Kate.
But also wanted. Like, nice. I got it. You know what I mean?
Understand.
So it's,
I understand.
It's a toss up, but stay tuned to FightfulSelect.com. We have a rare weekend that we're not going to be yapping at you about wrestling too much, but we do have Grapsody, of course, always news coming out on Fightful Select. But next weekend, Memorial Day weekend, we are loaded with shows on the NXT side, on the AEW side. So stay tuned there. But before we get out of here, Alex, there's no names that you dropped on the floor behind you, but if there's anything that you want to plug.
Friends. I do a lot of things here, but go check everything that I do out on my website, alexiscardoza.com. It kind of looks like a link in bio thing. You just press it in there. I listen, my podcast, This Is Fine, The Millennial Diary, very short episodes. They're like 5 to 6 minutes each episode. They've, for some reason, I was not expecting this. They took off. I mean, it's they awesome. Took off. I've literally become, I'm getting hundreds of messages saying that I am now people's therapist. So make sure you go check it out. This is Fine, A Millennial Diary. It's on YouTube or anywhere you find your podcast. And I do want to say thank you to everyone here who continues to support us. Thank you so much. Shout out to New York. Yankees beat the Mets. Yay. And the Knicks beat Boston to move on to the conference championships. So like, yeah, Eastern Conference Championships. Yeah. So a lot of good stuff happening up there. And thank you guys again for supporting. Yeah.
What's up? You can find me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media and on YouTube. You can find me here on Fightful. Mondays on Fightful Select. Tuesdays during your NXT post show. Wednesdays I'm at the Mark Order podcast talking all things All Elite. And Fridays I'm right back here. We hope to see you next week. Please leave a thumbs up on your way out if you haven't. And have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We'll see you next week.